Welcome. You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. May God help you to rightly understand and eternally benefit. By the way, if you are listening on an iPhone, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we gather on this Holy Thursday, we connect back into what we did here at Bethlehem on Palm Sunday. So on Palm Sunday, we studied about Jesus being warmly welcomed into Jerusalem on that day. And then we looked briefly at Holy Monday, the day that he cleansed the temple, providing a place where the Gentiles could gather to worship their God. And then we looked at Holy Tuesday, and that is when Jesus taught and taught and taught. He was challenged, he responded, and so many other things on Holy Tuesday. Now today we skip over Holy Wednesday, and we're right here today on Holy Thursday. So today we're going to remember the actual Passover back at the time of Moses, and then we're going to take a look at some of the things that took place in the upper room on that first Holy Thursday in the evening. We now go to the actual Passover. We find ourselves back in Exodus chapter 12, and we have to jump back about 3,400 years from today in order to take a look at this. So we're taking a look at the time of Moses and also the time when the descendants of Jacob, also known as Israel, were there in bondage in Egypt. Keep in mind that prior to our reading today, the Lord has already sent 9 plagues upon the Egyptians. What was he doing? He was showing them that he is God and their false gods are nothing, as each of these plagues was greater than their false gods. Now, as we come to the 10th plague, we go here to Exodus chapter 12. The Bible says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb for a household. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight.'" Did you catch anything there in what I read that would be pointing ahead to our Lord Jesus Christ? Let me point out a couple things. For example, it talked about a lamb that was without blemish. So thinking about our perfect Lord Jesus Christ, it talked about taking a lamb that was a male, again, pointing to our Lord Jesus Christ being Son of God and Son of Man. Also, too, it said to take it on the 10th day. Maybe thinking about Holy Week and Palm Sunday being the 10th day, and then it said to put it to death on the 14th day, which would be then Holy Thursday, if you count from Palm Sunday all the way to Holy Thursday, and that was the day in the afternoon at twilight when the lambs were put to death in order to then eat the Passover meal that evening. And then picking up in verse 7 of Exodus chapter 12, the Bible says, this is continuing now with what the Lord instructed to Moses and Aaron, "Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel." In other words, the board up above the door that's supporting the doorway. "So on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, and they shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Why that name? I think you know already, but it goes on to say, "The Lord said, 'For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast.'" So he wasn't saying, I'm going to strike just the Egyptians, I'm going to strike everyone, is what he was saying, all the firstborn, both man and beast. But then it goes on to say, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you. It's interesting, we're talking about a plague. We kind of have a plague over the whole world today, don't we? Well, think about the words that were spoken to Moses and Aaron by the Lord. First of all, Moses and Aaron had to believe what the Lord said. If they didn't believe it, the whole thing is not going to work. So first of all, God has to enable them to believe what he said. Second, they have to actually communicate this to others. If they don't, again, it's not going to work. Third, the others, when they hear it, they have to believe it. So God had to work that faith within them to believe what Moses and Aaron said. And then fourth, God had to move them to actually follow the instructions, to take the lambs on the particular day, and then to put them to death on the particular day, and so on. What happened? Those with God-given faith, they did what the Lord said, and when the Lord came, he passed over those particular houses. He did not put to death the firstborn in those houses. And then the Bible goes on to say, the Lord said to them, this day shall be for you a memorial day. In other words, a day of remembrance. That's what our Memorial Day is in the United States. It's supposed to be a day of remembrance, not just a day for a picnic, not just a day off work, but it's supposed to be a day of remembrance. So it says again, this day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute, in other words, as a decree forever. You shall keep it as a feast. So the Passover, from the perspective now of today and even of the time of Jesus, it's been celebrated over and over and over again. Whenever we have any special remembrance, it's so important to teach people what we are remembering. We shouldn't just have the day and gather together with others and have some kind of a meal or some kind of a celebration, but it's important, though, that for us who know what the special day is about, what the history is of the day, it's important that we communicate that to others. It's interesting that the way God laid out the Passover meal, there are very particular things that are going on prior to people eating the meal. And all those things that go on prior to people actually eating, that is teaching all who are gathered as to what it's all about. So, for example, when it comes to the Passover, those who are celebrating it should know that even though the Egyptians were a powerful people, and even though we were enslaved by them, and even though getting away seemed impossible, the Almighty God, he took action, he sent the plagues, and he delivered us, and he is worthy of our trust. That message should be taught at every Passover. Or what about at Christmas time? How many people, even in America, don't even know what Christmas is? Christmas is the birthday of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe not being actually born on that particular day, but nonetheless, that's what it is. We are celebrating the fact that God loved us so much that he sent his son into the world and he was born on a particular day. And then with Easter, how many people don't know what Easter is, but yet we know it is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he lived. Yes, he suffered. Yes, he died. And yet he is risen. And then going on in the sermon, we come to the New Testament now. We're in the gospel, and we're coming to Jesus' final Passover remembrance. We're coming to the preparation for that final Passover remembrance. So technically, Let me share something here before we get into it. So technically, Passover is only one particular day. Take a look in Leviticus chapter 23. It is the 14th day of the month of Nisan. That one day is Passover. And then, if you look also in Leviticus 23, immediately following that single day is then a seven-day festival called the Festival of Unleavened Bread. So Passover and unleavened bread, those are two of the seven festivals that are outlined in Leviticus chapter 23. What has ended up happening, though? Oftentimes today, and even back at the time of the Bible, oftentimes they might use the word Passover, or they might use the word unleavened bread, and yet when they used those terms, they were oftentimes referring to the entire 8 days. So they were no longer making the distinction with Passover being one day, unleavened bread being the 7 days after. That's what we have going on here. So the Bible says, now on the first day of unleavened bread, so we're talking here Thursday of Holy Week, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover? He said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, with what I read there, it sounds like Jesus is saying that to all of the disciples, but yet we find out more information when we look at the Gospel of Luke. So we know that Jesus only sent two particular disciples to make the preparation, and we find out it was only Peter and John who did it. So why the secrecy? Why didn't Jesus say, hey, go to so-and-so's house? Why did he say, go to the house of a certain man? He's trying to keep it a secret from Judas. So when he said, go and prepare, Judas is there. He doesn't want Judas to know the place where they're going to be gathered, because if Judas knew, then he could alert the Jewish rulers, they could come, and they could arrest Jesus right at that place. So Jesus wanted to keep that a secret, so that way he could eat his final Passover meal in peace. He could do all the things that happened there in the upper room, and then according to God's perfect timing, later on then, he would be arrested. Now we come to the eating of the Passover meal and also the discussion of betrayal. Going to verse 20 of Matthew chapter 26, the Bible says, when it was evening, so when was it evening? How did they determine evening back then? It was when you could look up and see the very first star in the sky. So when it was dark enough that you could see the first star, that's what marked evening for them. So when it was evening, Jesus reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, so notice here it says, as they were eating. So prior to that, I didn't take time here in this sermon, but there are a number of special things that would have happened prior to this point where they were all eating. So Jesus would have done these particular things as the host of the meal. So there are certain things he would have done. There are certain things he would have said, and all of that was helping people know the true meaning of Passover. So all of this has already happened now because it says, as they were eating. So it says, as they were eating, Jesus said, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him, one after another, is it I, Lord? Why would Jesus ask that? Why is he bringing up this whole discussion about someone betraying him? Well, Lenski put it this way, the question was intended to shock the guilty soul of Judas out of its guilt. Jesus knows, as the Son of God, he knows what Judas has already done. He knows the arrangements that Judas has made. But what can we say about Jesus? Still, he cares about Judas. Still, he loves Judas. He knows that when he goes to the cross, he's going to take and pay for the sins of Judas. So even at this last hour, if you will, this last moment, he is using that statement to call Judas to repent, to not go through with it. Now we might say, what if Judas would have repented? What if he wouldn't have gone through with it? Well, we know that God's plan somehow, some way would have come about. And we know that somehow, some way, someone else would have betrayed Jesus. Think about the book of Esther, how Esther had the opportunity to be able to approach the king, risking her life in order to intervene on behalf of her people. What did her uncle end up saying? He basically said to her, if you don't do it, Esther, God will raise up somebody else to do it. This is your opportunity. So in a positive way, she finally did approach the king and God blessed it. Here, in a negative way, God wasn't forcing Judas. God didn't say, okay, Judas, you have to do it and it's all going to be horrible for you and I'm making you do it. It wasn't that kind of a situation, but rather, Judas had the opportunity to repent, just like God gives all people the opportunity to repent. And if he would have repented, there certainly are many, many others who would have betrayed Jesus, gotten a hold of him, and allowed God's plan to continue forward. And then picking up in verse 23, so the Lord has mentioned about his betrayal. The disciples said, is it I, Lord? And then Jesus answered, he who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Judas, who would betray him, answered, is it I, Rabbi? Jesus said to him, you have said so. So Jesus responds, that's a typical way back then for them to say, yes, you're right, it's you. So everyone understood that for those who heard what Jesus said. Then, if we look into the Gospel of John here, we know that right away, that's when Jesus told Judas to take action quickly. So as soon as this was identified regarding Judas, then Jesus told him to take action quickly, and Judas left at that point. So we're coming to the institution of the Lord's Supper, but we know that Judas, he was gone by that time. And then we come to the institution of the Lord's Supper. So picking up in verse 26, the Bible says, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. So why did he break it? Was that pointing to his body being broken? It's not. So he did not break it in order to point to his body being broken, because his body was not broken, but rather it was simply for the distribution. So it says, after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant. In other words, this is my last will and testament, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So they received the bread, and along with the bread, they received the very body of Jesus. And they received the wine. And along with the wine, they received the very blood of Jesus. And why did they receive both? They received both for the assurance of their salvation. So every time we celebrate the supper, we are proclaiming that the Son of God, he gave his body and he shed his blood to take away the sin of the world. And then by our God-given faith that we have, we already have the benefits through our God-given faith, and then as we come and receive, we are receiving great assurance as we can see with the eyes of faith his very body and his very blood. We see the very elements of what he gave, of what he shed. And God wants us to know beyond all doubt that because it is the very Son of God who did those things, he wants us to know beyond all doubt that our sins are forgiven. And then finally, in our gospel reading for today, Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So think about where we began our Wednesday series, going back to the second Wednesday of Lent. So we started in the Garden of Gethsemane, and here it says they went out to the Mount of Olives, also known as the Garden of Gethsemane. So there's not time to be able to look at all that happened now. So we started that back 5 weeks ago. So we looked at the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus being arrested and his trials and his crucifixion and all those other things. So those are things that are going to follow now our reading today. With what Jesus said, he was saying to his disciples, "Today is the day when I will die." Now keep in mind, from a Jewish perspective, they were already early on Good Friday because it was evening for them and their day began in the evening, not like us beginning at midnight. Also, think about it like this. Jesus completed the purpose of all Passovers. What was the purpose of every Passover? It had two purposes. First of all, it looked back and remembered God's physical deliverance from Egypt, and it also looked ahead to God's spiritual deliverance from death and hell through Jesus. So all Passovers, the purpose for them had been completed at that point. Now what did Jesus do? He instituted the Lord's Supper. And what is the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is the New Testament Passover. So we are celebrating the Passover. And in fact, here at Bethlehem, we celebrate the Passover every single Sunday and at every single festival. So we are celebrating the Passover over and over again. We are celebrating the New Testament Passover. Let us rejoice that in Christ our sins are forgiven. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for living for us. Thank you for dying for us. And thank you for winning our forgiveness. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have a Bible question, contact me, Robert Green, through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church home, see our website and attend with us. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.